hope to do a wrap-up today of all that we covered in the books of the kings of Israel and Judah. And I put some slides together just to give you a visual of what we have gone through. And I also have a sheet that Santosh will distribute. Unfortunately, those sheets have come a little darker than I expected. Those sheets give you an overview of all the prophets, the kings, and may I have one, please? And the nations surrounding Israel. We have so much information in the books of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles. And then you have all the prophets who ministered during the time of these kings, warning God's people of God's judgment if they did not keep to His ways. So we'll come to this sheet that you hold in your hand almost at the end. I'll say something about it then, but you also have the outline in InStep. We've covered Samuel and Kings. That's a huge chunk of text of scripture. And we saw that there are 42 kings, actually 41 kings and one queen. Saul was the first king, and he ruled over all of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then we had David, who became king after Saul, but he was anointed before Saul died, because midway in Saul's reign, God was totally displeased with Saul. He even told Samuel the prophet to stop praying for Saul, to stop meeting Saul, to stop telling Saul anymore of God's messages, just to leave him alone. Let him go his own way. God took his hands off Saul and told Samuel to anoint David as king. And David was just a shepherd boy. Even his own family kind of despised him. He was the youngest. Perhaps they were jealous of him. But he was brave. He kept from coveting or snatching the kingdom before God's time, and only after Saul died did David take over the kingdom. But Ish-bosheth, Remember Ish-bosheth. For about 11 years, refused to surrender because he had the commander of Saul. What's his name? Okay, you can look in your Bibles. This is not an exam. Abner. Was it Abner or Joab? Yeah. Abner. And rebels against David, but then comes to a brutal end. So does Abner. And David is king of the undivided Israel. And after David, Solomon becomes king. I think both David and Solomon reigned for how many years? Each of them. Any idea? 40 years. Each of them. David had a great desire to build God's house, but God said, you have been a man of war, so I will allow Solomon to build the temple. And Solomon did build the temple. And so we have then the kings of Israel and Judah. So let's move on the slides and get to the next one. I want to keep emphasizing this, that God made it very clear to Israel, his people, that when they desired a king over them, they were rejecting him. And it's very clear in chapter 10 of 1 Samuel and chapter 12 of 1 Samuel that in wanting a king, God's people are rejecting the lordship, rulership, authority of God over their lives. You also read in that text and elsewhere, that Israel is basically wanting to be like everybody else. And that is part of our own struggle. Yes? No? We want to assimilate with the rest, be accepted. Otherwise, there is going to be rejection. And we don't get promotions. We don't get those jobs. We don't get those perks. And we don't get the ease in our places of work or places where we live, right? People make fun of us. They persecute us. And who wants all that, right? Basically, we don't want trouble. We don't want trouble in our homes. We don't want trouble in our societies where we live. We don't want trouble and rejection among our friends and neighbors and people we work with. We want it to be like everybody else, right? And God says, that's going to spell disaster. We move on in the slides. And we just go very quickly over the slides, 2 seconds each. Till I say stop. We've done all this, right? And you have a picture of King Saul. Have you come to that? Did you skip the picture of Saul? You got Saul there? These are all borrowed pictures. Stop listening to God. Tolerate a rebellious spirit. Presume upon God. And then we have a map. I don't know how clear it is for you, but you can see Saul's kingdom spreads across the nation of Israel. But it's still very much surrounded by the Hittites in the north, the Assyrians in the north, and then the Moabites and Jacobites and whatever else, the surrounding Canaanites. If you do a detailed study of Saul's kingdom, you will also discover that Saul was actually a tribal leader more than a king. He's known as king. He was anointed king. But he had just transitioned from the rule of the judges. And in the book of Judges, each judge was ruling only one or two of the 12 tribes of Israel. And now Saul was trying to put everything together. That was his reign. And then we have him committing suicide. Have you got that? Next one. He commits suicide. After the death of Saul, we move on. Ish-bosheth assassinated. And then the harpist. Have you got that picture? David. He actually succeeded where Saul didn't, in bringing all the tribes under the throne in Jerusalem. And we have a map of David's kingdom centered in Jerusalem, ruling across the nation. And you see another map, the second one, with a blue circle. Do you see that? And you can get copies of this from the World Wide Web. We have a picture of Solomon. This is imagination. No one had a camera in those days. But most probably taken from the words of the book of Song of Songs. My beloved is dark and, you know, tall, dark and handsome. And his kingdom, the map. This is a little bit more clear. And you can see that he has inherited from David a kingdom that is consolidated. And he is not engaging in battle as much as David. David had conquered and brought the kingdom to peace. And Solomon just takes over from there, and he is involved in buildings and art and music and culture. And he had wisdom bestowed on him by God, and God had met him how many times? Do you remember? Twice. The first time, ask what you will, and Solomon so humbly and graciously asked for wisdom. Not wisdom for himself to show off, but wisdom to be able to shepherd God's people. He understood that the king of God's people was supposed to be a shepherd. If you study the Bible, God's perspective in allowing, even though that was not his primary will, he allowed them to have a king who would shepherd his people. So the king was supposed to be like a pastor to the people of God. And Solomon knew that at the beginning of his ministry, and he asked God, give me wisdom so that I will know how to go in and out among your people and rule them and guide them and be a shepherd to my people. And he was, and he built this magnificent temple. The next slide, do you see it? It's beautiful. And if you go further in the slides, You see the before this one, you see the whole structure and plan of Solomon's temple. As you read the Bible, you discover that there is an outer court, and then there's the inner court. The outer court was where proselytes could come, those who were not true Jews. And then there's the holy place and the holy of holies. At the entrance, there are 7 steps and then 8 steps and then the bronze altar and the court. And you can do a wonderful study of Solomon's temple. And then you have it there in a more aerial view, Solomon's temple. And it's important for us to think of Solomon's temple because Solomon's temple had been damaged. And who restored it? I hear one or two whispers. Was there someone else who did repairs? Yes. And who else? Nehemiah and Ezra worked together. But who else? There was a prophetic view of the temple in the book of Zechariah, right? With Zerubbabel but Zerubbabel and Nehemiah and Ezra were all at the same time. But Herod really did the repairs. And when was it destroyed? As who came in? The Romans, led by Titus. And not one stone was left upon another, predicted by Jesus in chapter. There's a secret of memory. You scratch your head, you think, because it massages your brain. In chapter, you can look. I mean, this is not an exam hall. Matthew 24. Also in Mark, a little earlier. And so we need to keep scratching our head to massage our brains, to awaken our memories, okay? So Jesus predicted it and it happened. And then the Bible also predicts that this temple is going to happen when? In Revelation. When you study the book of Revelation, the temple gets built as you study. When is the temple going to be rebuilt? Okay. Somewhere in the future, for those who don't land in their eschatology. Somewhere in the future, sometime. Right now, how is the condition where the Temple of Solomon was originally built? What is the condition? Which is the location? Yeah, which city? And there's a mosque there, right? Commonly known as the Dome of the Rock. And there are rumors that some rabbinical Jews are actually excavating underneath so that there'll be a natural earthquake. They want to help the Messiah come. But the question is, while the mosque is there, can the temple be rebuilt? So obviously, what's going to happen? And if you disturb a mosque, what happens? Someone's going to get upset, right? And so there are these tensions going on. But do the Jews want to rebuild the temple? Is it important to them? Is it important for Christians? No. Of course it is. Why? Because it's in the Bible. There are events related to the coming again of Christ that is crucial for the temple rebuilding. Part of all the events of future times and end times. So, very, very crucial. Will there be a temple in heaven? Yes, no. Bring out all your theology books. Right? So we get to this slide which says, understanding the kings of Israel and Judah, the next 38 kings in our slides. Israel is divided. Between who? Who are the first two kings? Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Next slide, please. And the kingdom divided became known as the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom is what? And it had how many kings? 19 kings and one queen. Only 8 were good. And 12 were evil, including that queen. The northern kingdom had 10 tribes. If you look at the tribe of Benjamin in the southern kingdom, you find that they had actually gone with Ish-bosheth. The tribe of Benjamin had gone with Ish-bosheth when he rebelled. The northern kingdom, Israel. The southern kingdom, Judah. The northern kingdom of 19 kings. How many were good? Not even one. So we move to the slide which says we look at the northern kingdom first. And as we trace the reigns of the kings of Israel, we take note of the way in which they keep going from bad to worse, or from bad to badder. And worser. And worster. There are not enough words in the English language to terribleize their evil. Who was perhaps the most evil of the 19 northern kings? You remember one man? And worse than him? Manasseh. If Ahab was bad, Manasseh, it says of Manasseh what? He was more evil than everyone before him or after him. Therefore I said badder and worser and worster. And finally, you have to take note of how God keeps punishing them again and again and again and sending these prophets. And you can look at the names of the prophets in that sheet I've given you. There are so many prophets and they keep talking about God's punishment coming upon the northern kingdom. And then finally, what happens? In our reading today of Isaiah chapter 5, did you notice God whistles? You know those whistles? God whistles and says, Assyria, come on. And if you look at what it says in Isaiah chapter 5, the Assyrians and then later on the Babylonians, they came with speed and they came with sharp hooves and their instruments were really sharpened. And they came under the mighty hand of God because God summoned them to destroy his people. Just absorb that. Just absorb that. That God can use evil people to punish good people. And someone wrote a book. Why do bad things happen to good people? Did you ever wonder about that title? Who are the good people? We, no? Remember I used a quote from someone last Sunday. With friends like you, I don't need. And God can say to us believers, with good people like you, I don't need sinners. You're pretty bad. And isn't it amazing grace that and think about it with me for a moment. That such so-called good people, believers, are so bad, and we're going to fill heaven. That's amazing grace. And in heaven, we will be good. What hasn't been achieved here, that perfection for which Jesus died on the cross and rose again and intercedes for us now. And there's groaning. Remember Romans chapter 8. There's groaning for the sons of God. It's going to happen one day. All because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Isn't that amazing grace? Are you struggling with your badness? Are you struggling? I don't want to say, put your hands up. How many of you are struggling with your badness? But I'm sure some of you don't think you're as bad can be. But I hope you start thinking that you have a lot of badness in you. There's hope for you. One day it'll all go. But are you desiring that? Do you really want things to change? Move on to the divided kingdom, and you see it there in the next map. See it in the two colors in the middle of all the orange. The northern has a larger chunk of land, right? Than the southern. And they're the enemies all around. And Assyria comes from the north, and Babylon comes from the north. Moab is in the south. The Philistines are in the south. We move on to the 19 northern kings. You see that list? It starts with Jeroboam. Jeroboam had been elevated by God. He escapes into Egypt and then comes back when Rehoboam becomes king. Who's Rehoboam? Solomon's son. Who's ruling over the undivided kingdom. And he's not willing to listen to Jeroboam. He listens to his advisors, who are the youngsters. I have these fancy ideas. And he says to Rehoboam, my father was harsh, I'll be harsher. I'm going to make your life miserable. And so the kingdom divides. But that was God's intended purpose. And so what we're doing now is just looking at the kings of Israel. In the record of the Bible, you have a lot of mixing. Israel and Judah, Israel and Judah, right? I've put it all together. And if you want this, I can give it to you. We have Jeroboam, Nadab, Baasha, Elah, Zimri, Omri, Ahab, Ahaziah, Jehoram, who's also known as Joram. But don't get confused with the Joram of Judah. Jehu, Jehoahaz, Jehoash. Again, those two names are repeated among the kings of Judah. Jeroboam the second, Zechariah, Shalom, Menahem, Pekah, and Hoshea. 19 kings. And they were all really bad. Turn to chapter 14 of 1 Kings. God speaking to Jeroboam. What does he say? Verse 7. Because I exalted you from among the people. Underline that. And apply it to your own life. And think of your own background. Where did you come from? Your parents, your grandparents, what was their financial, social level and situation? What was the spiritual background you come from? How strong was the faith of your fathers in the Lord Jesus? Were they saved people? And from that situation, God brought you today. And say to yourself, God says to you, because I exalted you. Who exalted you? Do you think you're in a better position today than your parents were? And God exalted you? Or do you pretend that false humility and say, no, I haven't been exalted. I've been saved. The word simply means, exalt simply means elevated. He's lifted you up. And the psalmist says, you lifted me up from the miry clay. Has he elevated you? Has he taken you out of misery and miserable situation? Economically speaking? Socially speaking? And the most precious, spiritually speaking, never forget that. Jeroboam forgot that. And made you leader over my people, verse 7, and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. Yet, verse 8, you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commandments. Verse 9, you have done more evil than all who were before you, and have gone and made for yourself other gods, and provoked me to anger. And have cast me behind your back. You know, God uses very graphic language. He's saying, you have put me in the back. You know, when I put God behind me, either I'm forgetting him or I'm saying, God, you follow me. Verse 10, therefore I am bringing calamity on the house of Jeroboam. Isn't that amazing? That's Jeroboam. Nadab. You look at the list on the screen and you see how many of them died normally and how many were murdered, killed, assassinated, died in battle. It's just a sad, sad story. Some reign 2 years, some reign 2 days, 1 month, 20 years. You think of Zimri, Omri, and then Ahab. Pretty bad men. You think of Jehu, the 10th king. Starts off commissioned by God, right? To destroy the house of Ahab. And he does that with great zeal for God. And then, as soon as that is over, how can it happen? I've been asked questions like that umpteen times. How can such a godly person become so ungodly? And I say, because it is not shocking. Because we give in to our own what? What is the basic problem with you? What is the basic problem with me? With anybody? Ego. Pride. Self. Long ago I learnt the spelling of sin. It's 3 letters. Na? S. And in the middle of sin is, that's the problem. I am in the middle of my sin. And someone took the I from sin and the C from Christ. And they took those 2 letters of the English alphabet, I, with an arrow to C, and said, when the I becomes the C, then you become a follower of Christ. You know why? Because to become the C, the I has to bend. Do you get it? And so we have these 19 kings. Move on. In this period in world history, there were several nations that ruled the world. The first of these was the Egyptian Empire. And we have a map there. Egypt. Egypt is on the right or left of Israel? Left. And from the left they come. Or is it the right? There's the map of Israel. South, left side of Israel. In the Arab world, even away from the big Arab chunk, Arabia chunk. Egypt. At the time all this is happening, Egypt is still trying to be a world empire. And then the next slide, the Assyrian Empire emerged. And you have it here. And you see the kings of Assyria during the kings of Israel and Judah. Do you see them? Assur, Nasipal, Shalman Nesar, Tiglat Pileser, and then Shalman Nesar the 5th, Sargon the 2nd, Sennacherib, Esarhaddon, Ashur Banipal. All these are Assyrian kings. And they keep attacking the northern kingdom, and finally destroy it. Next, the Assyrian Empire in a map there. Can you see it? All that greenish gray area. Assyria in the north of Israel and Judah. Constant attacks, constant pain to Israel and Judah. And the people of God just don't see it. So often, that's exactly how you and I are. We just don't see the message God is sending us loud and clear in the things that happen to us, right? Things are happening in your life, right? Maybe you get into trouble at work. Do you ever sit and think, why? Or you get things happening in your physical body, illness, aches, pains. Family tensions happen. Do these things happen? You know, most of us have come to a mindset where we think that we should not think. That's how we think. We should not think that everything is from God, as a punishment and a judgment from God. We've got that mindset. We've been educated to think that we should not think that God punishes us and God is judging us. But I think we should look again at Hebrews chapter 12, right? We should look at Hebrews chapter 12. And as you turn to Hebrews chapter 12, let me tell you about Miss K. Benjamin. It is very interesting, this very interesting lady turned 90. On the day she turned 90, she was walking near her residence. There was no hurdles in the way. And Roshni and Manoj Manwani were driving by very slowly. And they put the window down of the car and waved out to Miss Benjamin and said, "Hi, Auntie Kay." And she said, "Hi." And she fell down and broke her leg and arm and landed in the general ward of the military hospital where I went to visit her. And the first thing she told me is, "See, Chris, God loves me very much." I said, I know he does. She says, no. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. So this is the discipline of the Lord. Because I had turned 90, I was feeling very good about it. And I was praying and thinking and telling everybody, not once have I been hospitalized. Nothing has been wrong with me. 90 years. And boom, I fell down. Because that was pride. Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And you might think, how silly and how small. But I want to ask you, do you read Hebrews chapter 12? Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Should it be that believers' mindset should be, each time something goes wrong, something negative happens, first thing should be, Lord, are you saying something to me? Should that be the mindset, or should our mindset be, no, God doesn't punish. God doesn't punish. I would prefer the first. Because even if God is not sending me a message, it's better to have a tender heart toward God, right? And say, God, are you saying something to me? Do I need to examine my life? Have I said wrong things? Have I had a broken relationship? Am I doing something which is not pleasing in your sight? Should we have that mindset? If you don't have that mindset, I appeal to you to think about it and embrace that mindset. It's safer spiritually. It'll do you no harm. It'll do you good. Let's move on. The kings of the southern kingdom, Judah. Small difference between the kingdom of the north and the kingdom of the south. All the kings of Israel were bad, all 19 of them. But we say 8 of the 19 men plus one queen were good. But even the good ones, there's always a but, right? But they were not exactly 100%. There was compromise. And we talked about that when I preached in some more detail. There's the list and the passages where they are mentioned. Asa died of a disease, the third king, in his feet that killed him. Joram, he died of some incurable disease in his bowels, which God inflicted as a punishment upon him. Joash was killed by his servants. Amaziah was killed by his enemies. Azariah or Uzziah was struck by God with leprosy because he got, what was wrong with this Uzziah? Who reigned how many years? 46 years or 52 years. And who was the prophet who came out of that time? In the year that King Uzziah died, he says in chapter 6, I saw the Lord. I want to preach on that again. Isaiah 6. Why does it say in the day that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord? What is the connection between Uzziah dying and Isaiah seeing the Lord? We're not looking at that now. The last four kings, you can even take the 16th king, Josiah. Josiah was killed in battle by Pharaoh Necho. Remember, he was a good king. Started at the age of 8. Brought in revival because of the discovery of the book of God, the Bible. But in the end, he tried to make an alliance with Egypt. Remember, that was one of the kingdoms, the first kingdoms in the nations around Israel. Egypt was still trying to be the world empire. And Josiah thought if he aligned with Pharaoh, Necho, he would kind of defend himself adequately against Babylon. But Necho took his neck off. Killed him. Jehoahaz was taken prisoner by Pharaoh and then died in Egypt. And then Jehoiakim was taken prisoner by Nebuchadnezzar. And so also Jehoiachin. Interestingly, Jehoiachin was released by who succeeded after the Babylonian kingdom? Which empire? Persian Empire. And I think it was Darius who released Jehoiachin and made him sit at his table to dine. And the final king, Zedekiah. One after another, bad and weak kings. Only 8 of them were good. You look at the kings of Judah, the next slide, and I've tried to make some kind of a diagrammatical help for us to see that David's son, Solomon, had a son, Rehoboam. And if you look, all of them are direct descendants of David and in the line of the tribe of, you know what God did? Not with the kings of Israel, but with the kings of Judah, he maintained the royal line. Because Jesus was to be born from the tribe of Judah. But you look at Ahaziah. Why was he bad? Whom did he marry? The daughter of Ahab. Who was his mother? Athaliah. Who was Athaliah? Huh? Yeah. She was also related to Ahab. The next map is the map of Babylon. On the north, right-hand side of Judah, came down to Jerusalem. The final siege was for how many years? That Nebuchadnezzar surrounded Jerusalem. How many years? You're allowed to look in the Bible. Yes. Hmm. 3 years. Yeah, 3 years. That's a long time to cut off food supplies. Water supply, arms. Everything. And so the people of Jerusalem just perished. And there was no one to help them. I want you to pause there and think about this. Just think about this. How many times God warned God's people, whether Israel or Judah? How many times did they listen? Oh, they listened many times. But for how long did they listen? What was the problem? There are two words with C that you can take back with you. As you bring an application to your own souls, there's compromise and there's something that is not there. There is compromise and there is no consistency. There's constant compromise and there's lack of being consistent. I mean, why can't we be the same yesterday and today and tomorrow? Why can't be the same? Why can't, I mean, if you can be good sometimes, why can't you be good a second time and a third time? Is God sufficiently able to give you the strength to be good, to have right attitudes? And I think much of it starts from the invisible parts, the thoughts, the attitudes, the mindset. The perspective, the ideas that you have. You look at your own life, the problem is not the action, it is what? The attitude. You did that and he did that, therefore I do this. It's an attitude problem. It's a mindset problem. It's an unwillingness to let go. And God deported Israel. And then, Judah, sorry. into Babylon. And the next slide tells you there were three deportations back from Babylon. Next slide, please. To Jerusalem. They come back in 605 and then 597 and then 586 BC. Sorry, they are taken. They're taken from Judah to Babylon in three batches. These are deportations from Judah to Babylon. Correction, please. I have charts like this. It's too small for you to figure out. But from Elijah, we have prophets Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Do you know that almost all the prophetic books are in the time of the kings of Israel? So this chunk that we are wading through in DCC is really related to all the major and minor prophets. And gives you the historical setting in which all these prophets spoke, either to Israel or to Judah. And so you look at this chart. And you have it there, right? The Assyrian nation. You can go through all the slides till the end. The Babylonian kings, the Persian kings, the prophets, and the kings of Judah and Israel. Where do we go from here? Into the book of Chronicles. And we're going to take it when I return 2 weeks from now. But I trust you have been challenged. You have gained a lot of knowledge, but you have also come under conviction. And you will learn to walk with God. And for those of you who do not know Christ as Savior and Lord, I hope you see this is a good time to think about the need to have a relationship with the living God that is vital and stabilizing and a blessing to you and your family. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the joy of being fed from your word. So rich, so true, so upbuilding and strengthening, illuminating. Gives us so much insight into your ways. Not just your words, but your ways. So that we know how you think and how to please you. To walk in your ways. We pray that you would keep us very conscious that we belong to you. That you are our God and we are your people, the sheep of your pasture. And we bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.